This podcast was recorded Thursday, March 5th at 10:04 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like another Democrat may drop out of the race and endorse Joe Biden.
Are there any left? Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those snollygosters or shrewd politicians who spin their way right into our hearts. I'm Steve Brown.
Yes, they do. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up later in the podcast, a new poll of black Ohioans has some surprising results.
It really did. But first, the bold headline of the New York Post said it all. He's alive.
Just a few days ago, the press and the pundits had declared the campaign dead. And then came South Carolina, and they had something to say about it. And we're told, well, when he got to Super Tuesday, it'd be over. Well, it may be over for the other guy.
Very hoarse-sounding Joe Biden there. He's not dead yet. He sounds like he's on the verge, but not dead yet. He suddenly can claim to be the front-runner in the race for the Democratic nomination for president.
That's right. Biden captured 10 of the 14 Super Tuesday states. He shocked most of us by winning Texas, Minnesota, Maine, and Massachusetts. Bernie Sanders won four others, including California, which had the most delegates of the day. So as of today, Joe Biden, with 527 delegates, has a narrow lead over Bernie Sanders. But Bernie is not going anywhere. He even acknowledges it's a two-man race.
This will become a contrast in ideas. One of us in this race led the opposition to the war in Iraq. You're looking at him. Another candidate voted for the war in Iraq.
A two-man race among men who should not be named, apparently.
Why is Bernie so hesitant to name him there?
He went on for a long list of folks. Another candidate, you know.
I'm glad he dropped a war. Not a war, it's a war.
Anyway.
After Tuesday's dismal showing, billionaire Michael Bloomberg dropped out and immediately endorsed Biden. As embarrassing as Super Tuesday was for Bloomberg, it might have even been worse for Elizabeth Warren. She finished a distant third in her home state of Massachusetts.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Who?
Tulsi Gabbard with one earned delegate remains in the race. Why? We don't know. Maybe so she can leave her home state of Hawaii to enjoy Ohio's beautiful weather in March.
It hasn't been too bad lately. Anyway, joining us right now is veteran Democratic strategist Derek Clay. Derek,
hey,
welcome.
How
to
you guys doing?
We're doing better. We're doing great. Well, what was the headline for, I don't know if it's Super Tuesday, what was it, Letdown Wednesday? What was the headline for Wednesday morning for you?
For me, it was all about the Biden resurgence, right? So after the former vice president got that victory in South Carolina, and that just ignited his campaign, in the 10 states that he won on Super Tuesday really gave him a jolt going into, you know, the elections that are coming up on the 17th here in Ohio and other places around the country.
It really was a resurrection. I mean, it was night and day compared to last Tuesday and then this Tuesday.
Have you ever seen such a quick turnaround, Derek? You've been in this game a little while.
I have not seen this type of turnaround in all of my days in working in politics.
What does it teach us? I'm looking at us in the media. You know, we are so quick to anoint winners after Iowa and New Hampshire when it's only less than 3% of the delegates are decided by those two very white states in a crazy caucus system in Iowa, which we saw this year.
It was pretty crazy.
I think in the long run, this will show us that we need to be more patient as to, in this horse race coverage of these races, to say, you know, Bernie Sanders is not dead either. There's a lot of people writing him off, and he's certainly not dead.
No, he's certainly not dead. But I think that the Democratic Party really took a page out of the Republican book, and they said, look, you know, this is the guy that we want to anoint as our appointee. And so it really kicked off with Senator or Congressmember Clyburn in South Carolina that says, Joe is my guy. He went to South Carolina, campaigned for him, helped him win that state. And so now you see all these other candidates in endorsements going to Joe Biden. And the Republicans are very good about that. They're very good about, you know, killing off their own, if you will.
Well, that's the I think it was Bill Clinton who said, or somebody from the Clinton campaign that said, Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. The Democrats fell in line this cycle.
Yes, Democrats definitely fell in line over this past week.
Getting back to Michael Bloomberg, who spent $500 million of his own money on ads, a lot of money in Ohio, set up a lot of field offices in Ohio, including Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. Now he drops out 2 weeks before the Ohio primary. I mean, did he really just not have a choice, or what happened there?
I got a mailer from Michael Bloomberg yesterday.
Yeah.
It was ironically, it came to my house yesterday, the day he dropped out.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by that, how quickly he got out? I mean, I know Tuesday was a nightmare for him, but he was out within a day.
You know, talking to a number of the people that are close to him, close to his camp, they tell me that Michael Bloomberg is definitely a data and numbers guy. So he crunched the numbers. He saw that, you know, I spent $500 million on trying to be the nominee. My experiment did not work. So now I'm going to get out, and I'm going to throw all my support to Joe Biden. Now, what is going to be really interesting is to see if he continues to not only throw his support in name, but his money, his machine, and his operatives.
Because these offices in Ohio, are they going to close, do you know? I mean, like, are they going to shut down? Or are they just going to shut down temporarily?
Turn into a pro-Biden super PAC?
Yeah, the Bloomberg offices will shut down. But like I said, I'm not sure if they will revive those offices under the Biden tent, and those folks will automatically go over to the Biden camp and start working there.
Bernie Sanders. He's never been much above 30% even in Iowa and in New Hampshire. With all these other folks coalescing around Joe Biden, is there any way that he can get above that 30% to keep this race close? Come, you know, they're calling it Big Tuesday next week, and then the Ohio primaries the following week. Mm-hmm. A lot of delegate-rich states coming up. And Bernie Sanders did very well in Michigan 4 years ago. He won Michigan in a surprise.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you just mentioned Michigan. I just saw where their governor came out and endorsed Joe Biden. So, you know, Bernie's camp is not dead, but it's definitely going to be an uphill battle for him. And in some ways, you know, Bernie Sanders has really boxed himself in. You know, he says that he's not going to take any billionaire money, even though he's a millionaire himself, you know.
Yeah.
But he said he's not going to take any billionaire money and any other help. So the support that he has and his base is really going to be his base. He has nowhere to expand his base.
Bernie Sanders is a darling of the youth vote. The youth vote didn't come out again in this primary, at least not as much as was projected. And even among the folks who are under 30, not as many of them went for Bernie Sanders. Is he losing favor among young people now?
Well, I don't know if he's losing the favor of young people, but you can be enthusiastic as you want about a candidate. But if you don't go out and exercise your right to vote, then it doesn't really matter.
Why don't young people vote? Do we know that?
I don't know.
If you knew that, you'd be lonely.
I'm not a young person anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they move around a lot. There are a lot of reasons. They move around a lot. They're not invested in, say, they don't have kids in schools. They don't own properties. You're not paying as much in taxes. You don't feel invested in the system.
It's a lot of different reasons. I mean, sometimes, you know, college students may still be registered to vote in their home state, and they're off in another state going to college, and they forget to go for their absentee ballot and all that type of stuff. So, you know, there could be a number of different reasons for that.
You know, Bernie Sanders has a lot of delegates, but he's still not winning the primary, very similar to 2016. Would you expect a situation similar to 2016 where Bernie hangs on longer than a lot of people within the party would care for?
I think that, and this is just my personal opinion, I think Bernie Sanders is going to go as long as he can possibly go, even if it goes into like a brokered convention type of situation. You know, I don't think that he is – I think that he is going to stay in this race as long as he can to continue to put his message out.
That's not a bad thing probably for democracy, you know?
Could be a good thing for Sherrod Brown too, right, if you're to believe the articles out there about Sherrod going to a brokered convention?
Well, Bernie Sanders' support of the plurality of delegates now being the key to the nomination may come back to haunt him if he doesn't have the plurality and it's Joe Biden
His 2016 stance.
His original stance this year too, as well, has to be majority. All right, we'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is, if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Snollygoster. We're getting two segments for the price of one this week out of Derek Clay. That's because he is the chair of the Legislative Black Caucus Foundation, which, along with the University of Akron's Bliss Institute, has sponsored a poll, the first ever poll of Black Ohioans, and it has some surprising results.
It really does. Here are some of the results. 60% of Black Ohioans support small state government with fewer services and lower taxes. 53% support protecting gun rights, while 47% want more restrictions on guns.
70% like a mix of public health programs and private insurance. 61% support using tax dollars to pay for charter schools and private schools, the voucher system. As for the most important issues, Black Ohioans cite jobs, crime, and drugs as the top three. Derek, any surprises when you saw the results of this poll?
Well, you know, again, this was a joint poll that was done in conjunction with the University of Akron Bliss Institute and the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation, and there were some surprises in this poll. And I think the reason why there were a couple surprises is because nobody's ever asked Black people in Ohio about what they think.
We just assume.
You know? So the foundation made a point to do that. You know, we asked about 1,500 random people from across the state. They were all African American. They came from all different geographic backgrounds. And, you know, when you start looking at the gun situation, you know, African Americans want to be protected too.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the reason why you saw a number of the majority of African Americans in this state, you know, support the right to have a gun.
46% of respondents reported at least some occurrences of racial discrimination in the past year. You are a Black man yourself. Were you surprised by that number? Was it either too low or too high, or what did you think about that?
No, I mean, all people are discriminated against in some form or fashion every day. You know, African Americans tend to get it a little more for a number of different reasons. I mean, when you look at that question that you just asked, Steve, you know, 53% said that the darkness of their skin was a contributing factor in discrimination. You know, 47% was where you were at the time. So it's a number of different reasons why, you know, African Americans feel discrimination from various different people at various different times.
Yeah. Well, speaking as a white guy, I can say confidently I did not face any discrimination in the past year. So it's just a different experience, and mm-hmm. I think this poll highlights that.
Yeah, I get discriminated against all the time with you know, barbers because, you know, I don't have any hair.
And for being a political consultant. For being a consultant, we'll make fun of you for that.
Right. That's going to be a class, folks with no hair. I'm getting there, you know. Back to the issues. Crime came in really high. What explains that? I mean, it's...
Well, you know, when crime is definitely something that was at the forefront of African Americans in this poll. What we don't know is if the majority of those folks that said that crime was their top issue lived in urban or suburban areas. Now, we can make some assumptions on mm-hmm. that, but you know, crime is definitely at the top of that list. You know, some other social order problems that were mentioned there was drugs as well, and that came in at around close to 13%, and guns. And when you look at crime, drugs, and guns, sometimes they have a correlation, unfortunately.
Yep. Yeah. The economy was right there. Depending how you look at the poll, it's a little bit above, a little bit below. It's basically tied with guns and with crime and drugs. Where does the economy and the lack of jobs, lack of good jobs, what does this poll tell you about how Black Ohioans feel about the economy and their job situation right now?
Well, I think you know, what the poll told us about jobs is that African Americans would like to see more training to access jobs. You know, not necessarily good jobs, whatever good jobs means, but more access to job training so that there can be training to actually get the types of jobs so that African Americans can make the type of living that they want to live.
You know, as we talk about, there are some surprises, at least to me, in here. You know, the stereotype of a gun rights supporter is a rural white man, often smaller state government, many African Americans favoring that. This poll did not ask about presidential candidates. Do you hope they look at these results? Because, you know, we often hear about candidates targeting the black vote, right? That was Joe Biden's secret to winning South Carolina, supposedly, that he had a lot of support among African Americans there. If there's one takeaway from what presidential candidates might take away from this poll, what would you hope that would be?
Well, and thanks for that question. I mean, we intentionally didn't ask about, mm-hmm. you know, presidential candidates in this particular poll. This was an issues poll. But, you know, I think it would be wise for the presidential candidates to take a look at the top lines from this poll and really dig a little deeper and actually do some town halls with folks in Ohio that are, you know, do some African-American town halls or some minority town halls where they can really dig deeper into some of these questions that were asked in this poll.
I would think if you were a Republican strategist, you would see an opportunity here. You would see that, you know, we do it every 4 years, maybe even every 2 years, but every 4 years, we in the media, in the pundit class, what does it take to get the black vote? What does it take to get the women vote? What does it take to get the Hispanic vote? And we lump everyone together. And of course, people aren't the same, no matter what color or what gender they are. If you're a Republican and you look at this and you see support for gun rights and support for smaller government, there are votes there. And if you targeted those folks.
There are absolutely opportunities on both sides of the aisle with this poll. The poll was very accurate. I mean, it's within 2 percentage points. You can't get much more accurate than that. So there are some opportunities for both parties to really learn from this poll and to go and talk to voters and maybe attract voters.
Vouchers and charter schools. Democrats tend to line up against them, but African Americans, it's been shown, really appreciate charter schools and the voucher system.
Yeah, one thing that really showed clear throughout this poll is that African Americans like choice. We like to have options, and education is one of those things. You saw the same thing with the smaller government question and lower taxes. You know, we like to pay our taxes just like everybody else,
just
but we
want to
make sure we just don't want to pay too much, right?
If Republicans could see opportunity here, do you think Democrats should be worried by this at all?
I don't think the Democrats should be worried at all. Although this is the first time this poll has been done and these questions have been asked, you know, we're still a Democratic majority in most of the municipalities around the mm-hmm. around the state.
I guess the elephant in the room here is, why has there never been a poll of black Ohioans before?
That's a good question. Not sure why, but we took the first stab at it, and I think we're going to continue to do this. I'm not sure if we're going to do it on an annual basis or a biannual basis, but this is something that we think has great value and relevance to not only the state but the nation as well.
Now, African Americans are surveyed in larger polls, and they're broken out. This is more valuable than being a segment of, say, a Gallup poll or a Quinnipiac poll.
Absolutely, because this was specifically for African Americans, and we made sure that demographic was lined up. You know, there was a number of demographics that we used based on census data, but we made sure that all of the respondents were African American, and it was 1,500 sampled.
Right.
Derek Clay, Super Tuesday expert. also the chair of the board for the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation, which, along with the University of Akron, conducted what appears to be the first of its kind poll of black Ohioans. Derek, thank you for joining Stalingoster.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, Stalingoster of the Week time, our weekly award to the shrewdest politician or political move of the week.
And that would be Joe Biden, who in 3 days won endorsements from Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Beto O'Rourke. Remember him? I forgot about that guy. We don't know why they so quickly threw their weight behind Biden. Maybe it was because they aligned with Biden's more moderate views. Maybe he or establishment Democrats promised them something in the future. Cabinet post, VP consideration, maybe his Netflix password. I'm not sure why.
Whatever he did to get their full-throated support helped save his candidacy and may help him win the nomination.
Joe Biden, with one of the shrewdest political weeks in recent history, is our Sonali Goster of the Week. And that will do it for this week's show. You can always leave us a good review on iTunes. Also, word of mouth always helps. Tell your friends about us.
Thanks to our intern producer, Jack Long, our audio engineer, Eric French. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown for Sonali Goster from WOSU Public Media.